Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuning in to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary, where we question, explore, love, support, encourage, and make spiritual wellness a priority. So get ready to exercise your faith.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. I am your host, and I am excited that you have joined me tonight as we make spiritual wellness a priority. So on tonight, we're going to continue discussing our new hashtag moment, and the hashtag moment for the month of August is Living with Broken Pieces. We'll go on to our segment of discussing the miracles of Jesus that are found in the New Testament during our segment titled To Believe or Not to Believe. Then we'll go right into our Let's Be Real segment of the show where I make my weekly confession. Then we'll have our main discussion on tonight where we are going to be discussing the importance of keep doing. And then we'll end our show with Dose of Spiritual Wellness, and we'll give final greetings and look forward to seeing you on next week. Remember that you can interact with me before, during, and after the show on social media with the various hashtags that you hear throughout the show, which includes Wellness and Faith, Living with Broken Pieces, Let's Be Real, our hashtag moment, and just be sure to tag me at Weary Consult. You can do that on Instagram, Facebook, and on Twitter. If there's anything that really resonates with you, you know, that you hear on the show, feel free to post about that as well and then tag me so that I can see your post. Or if you would like to call into the show live with any questions or comments on the content that we are discussing tonight, you can call 347-850-1154. And if you need that number again, you can go ahead and actually look at the show website at blogtalkradio.com/RSWellness. So let's get right into our hashtag moment. The hashtag moment is a point on the show where I discuss a topic that's related to my monthly blog, and then you can post on social media about it with that particular hashtag. I am a guest contributor for the RS Counseling and Wellness Center blog, which can be found at radiantsunshine.org. On that blog, you're going to find tons of helpful wellness tips in addition to my guest blog, so I definitely encourage you to go and check it out. My most recent blog, titled Living with Broken Pieces, was published a few days ago, so I definitely want you to go check it out and let me know what you think. So once again, the hashtag for the month of August is Living with Broken Pieces. So feel free to post on social media with that hashtag and tag me at Weary Consult. So on tonight, we're going to continue this discussion about what it means to live with broken pieces. So in case you missed the show on last week, just want to give a brief overview of living with broken pieces and what that means. So this actually comes from the portion in Acts 27, where Paul is shipwrecked. And we know, for anyone that's familiar with Paul's story, that he was shipwrecked several times. So this is just one of those instances that did occur. And the reason why the shipwreck occurred is because Paul had warned the captain of the ship to not go ahead and continue with this journey for Rome because they were actually taking Paul and some of the other prisoners to Rome in order to stand trial. And so Paul had foreseen the fact that there was going to be this crazy storm. He warned the ship's captains not to go ahead with the journey. They decided to continue with the journey anyway. As a result, they get into this huge shipwreck, and they're on the verge of dying. And so Paul has this vision where an angel of God comes to speak with him, and he lets Paul know that they are not going to die. And so the next day, Paul tells everyone about this vision, and Paul's vision actually does come to pass. Another important piece of information is that Paul also was informed that this ship would be destroyed, but that no one would lose their life. And there was almost 300 people on board when you totaled the number of soldiers and prisoners that were on the ship. So when the ship was actually destroyed in the midst of the storm, the soldiers and prisoners who could swim, they swam to the shore. But the rest of the individuals that were on board who could not swim, some of them made it by floating with boards from the ship, but then there were another group of people that made it on broken pieces of the ship. So last week, when we first started our discussion, and even when you go and read the blog that I did that's titled with the same name, you'll see that it is possible to live with the broken pieces of your life. And your broken piece may be financial hardship, it may be health issues, maybe insecurities, or even trauma or pain from things that happened years ago. But whatever it is that is going wrong in your life that seems like a broken piece, it is not something that should just be tossed away. It's actually something that can be used to help you to survive. So that's where this discussion is coming from. So tonight we're going to continue that discussion, but we're actually going to come at it from a slightly different angle, where we are going to talk about the causes of broken pieces and why it happens. So there are times in our lives where we will experience things being destroyed and subsequently have broken pieces because we don't heed the warnings that we get from God, and we make bad decisions regarding situations that we are involved in. And so when you look at even Acts chapter 27, verses 9 through 10, Paul did give the warning to the ship's captain that it would not be wise to continue on with this journey, but they did anyway. And so here it is, because the ship's captain did not listen to Paul's advice, they go through this whole ordeal where, one, they're afraid they're going to die, and in the process of being afraid they were going to die, they were actually hungry as well, because in the midst of these storms that they were encountering, they tried to lighten the ship by tossing things overboard. And so that included food and even necessities as well. And so then they do that, and it still does not help at all. They're still at risk of dying here in the middle of the sea. And so, you know, they go ahead and they don't die, but they still lost everything that was aboard that ship. And so, you know, it was a scary experience. There were resources that were lost, and now they have to figure out how to continue with their journey back, you know, once they're leaving Rome, and they need to get a whole new ship. So just going through that, all of that trauma and that pain and being afraid was so unnecessary. They didn't have to endure that. But thankfully, they were able to make it and still have their lives, and there were some individuals that made it with broken pieces from the ship, and there wouldn't have been broken pieces if they would have just listened to the warning that Paul had. So we go through this in our own lives. There are times that God will give us a warning of not to either be involved with certain individuals or not to, you know, go ahead and sign on with a particular business deal, or maybe not to move to a certain place, or, you know, even to take a certain job, or not to even say something that we want to say in a moment, you know, in the midst of being in a situation that maybe is frustrating, or maybe someone is trying to do something that is really wrong towards us. And so we get this warning that, hey, don't say that. Hey, don't do that. Hey, that's not going to have a good result. But we allow our own logic or our own emotions to get in the way, and we go ahead and we say what we shouldn't have said, or we go and do what we shouldn't have done, and now there's a much bigger mess and there's chaos as a result of it. And so in those situations, the important thing is to remember is that as long as you get back on track, you can recover. Now, your recovery time is probably going to be really expensive depending on how bad the damage is when you're not listening to the warning. But the things that you learn in the situation that happens because you didn't listen to the warning, you can actually flip that around to help you to mature and to become better. So let's say, you know, you're having a discussion and maybe the discussion is pretty heated and you end up saying something that destroys this relationship with this individual or destroys this opportunity for a partnership because you said something that you shouldn't have said. This can now be a learning experience. Yes, you may have lost that opportunity, but now all your other opportunities won't be jeopardized because you've learned a very valuable lesson. So you can use the broken piece from that crazy situation to actually learn how to communicate effectively and knowing that there is power in silence. And then even we can use other examples as well. You know, when it comes to even, you know, getting warnings about maybe saying not taking advantage of a particular opportunity. Let's say there's a business deal that someone comes to you with and it seems like it's all great on paper and on the surface, you know, but you just have this inkling, this feeling, which is the Holy Spirit let you know that this is not something that you should do. Well, you go ahead, you get involved in the business deal, and then maybe it causes some financial hardships in the midst of it. Again, you can turn that into learning lessons, or you can turn that situation into a lesson that has been learned, and now you can grow from it, and you can survive that season of recovery, and then now you're better from it, and you have wisdom that you can even pass on to someone else, you know, that you would meet later on in life as well. So basically, the whole point of this whole hashtag with the living with broken pieces is that we shouldn't be so quick to throw our broken pieces away. You know, is that there's always something great that can come out of even a worse situation. And, of course, it can be hard going through that recovery process. It can be hard having to now survive when you were in a place of comfort, you know, being in survival mode. But at the end of the day, you can do it. You know, in Philippians 4:13, it says that I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. God's strength is available to you even when you make a bad decision and you don't listen to the original direction or the warning that God provided to you. So in spite of whatever the cause is, no matter what decisions that you have made that were not the best decisions, in spite of the warnings that you did not heed to, you can still live with the broken pieces of those bad decisions. You can still live with the broken pieces of the consequences of not doing what you should have done the first time. It's not the end of the world. Like I said, it may take a really long time to go through that whole recovery process. It may be a few weeks. It may be a few months. It may even be a few years. But at the end of the day, as long as you keep pushing forward, as long as you continue to now follow whatever that leading and that warning that you got before, and you follow those directions or that insight or that wisdom the first time, you won't have to make the same mistakes again. So when it comes to our spiritual wellness, we must learn to utilize and live with the broken pieces in our lives. So now let's go ahead to our next segment, which is titled To Believe or Not to Believe. This is a point in the show where I strongly encourage you to interact with me live. Well, we discuss various reasons why it might be difficult to believe in God. You can call into the show and come into the show live by dialing 347-850-1154, and we'll be able to have a discussion about this particular miracle in the New Testament where Jesus heals a man with a withered hand. So feel free to post on social media with any of those hashtags that you heard so far. You can tag me at Weary Consult. And the account of Jesus healing the man with a withered hand can be found in Matthew chapter 12, verses 10 through 15. So let's talk about the players here in this particular situation. So, of course, we have Jesus, we have the man with the withered hand, and then we have other people who are present in the synagogue, which also included a group of Pharisees. So what happens is that this is the Sabbath. So, you know, Jesus had already had a discussion with the Pharisees prior to this particular miracle taking place. And so after this particular discussion he had, he then goes to the synagogue where they go and they worship. And so as Jesus is there in the synagogue, he sees this man who has a withered hand. And so before he goes to heal the man with the withered hand, he actually gives this parable because he already knew that the Pharisees were going to have a problem with the fact that Jesus would perform a miracle on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees' issue with it, them more so from Levitical laws and the restrictions that were on them at that time, where there was no work that was supposed to be done on the Sabbath day. It was supposed to be a day of rest, is that you go, you worship, and that's it. You don't do any other type of work. And so Jesus gives this parable, and he says, you know, hey, if you have a sheep, and the sheep falls into a pit on the Sabbath, are you going to leave him there until the next day? Or will you, even on the Sabbath, work to rescue your sheep? And, of course, anyone, you know, who had a sheep that heard this, they would go ahead and rescue the sheep because they're not going to let their sheep perish because, one, that was one of their resources. So if they let the sheep die in the pit simply because of the past, they've now lost any resources that would have been attached to that sheep as well. So they wouldn't have had the wool to be able to make clothes. They wouldn't have been able to use the sheep as a sacrifice or anything else they could have done with the sheep if they would have just let the sheep die in the pit. So the Pharisees don't say anything when Jesus says that because they realize that now they've been stuck, getting caught up in this loophole where it's just like, okay, if you say you're not going to rescue sheep, people are going to say that you're lying. But if you say that you would rescue the sheep, now you're going to confirm that it's good that Jesus is going to go ahead and perform this miracle on the Sabbath day. And so when they don't respond, Jesus goes ahead, he turns to the man, he lets him know that he is healed, and immediately the man's hand is restored and it is able to function just like his other hand. And so, you know, he goes, the man goes about his business, everybody is amazed. It was in a synagogue to be able to see this particular miracle. And the Pharisees, on the other hand, they were hot. They were so angry. And as a result of this, they actually went and had a meeting and began to plot how they're going to kill Jesus. They were so angry that Jesus was able to continue to, one, do all these miracles and just do things that they had never been able to, you know, even do themselves. And then he was also gaining a lot of popularity. And so the Pharisees also had concern that Jesus was going to try to overthrow the religious leaders and the kingdoms that were in place at that time. Not knowing that that's not even what Jesus came to do. Even Jesus himself said that he didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. But the Pharisees were just really intimidated by Jesus' power and by what he was able to do and his rise in popularity. And so they were always trying to, you know, put Jesus in these crazy situations to try to make him look like he wasn't all-powerful and he wasn't all-knowing and that he really should be trusted and he shouldn't be as famous as he is. But each and every time, Jesus was always several steps ahead. And so he never got caught in any of the traps that they set for him. And instead, they end up being caught in their own traps, per se, that they were set for Jesus. So they were angry and they decided to go ahead and try to kill him. So in this miracle that took place, it's so awesome just to continue to see the compassion that Jesus has for people in situations. You know, we've been doing a series for several weeks now with talking about the miracles of Jesus that are found in the New Testament. And just each and every time you just see Jesus just showing compassion and him completely changing a person's life in just a matter of moments. You know, we've seen miracles where Jesus has raised people from the dead. We've seen miracles where Jesus has healed people who were sick. We've seen Jesus actually perform miracles where he freed people who were actually possessed by demons. I mean, and the list just goes on and on and on and on about the various miracles that he performed. And it's just amazing, like I said, just to see the compassion and to see the awesome power, how just in this one encounter with Jesus, just a few moments of time, these individuals' lives were just completely changed and improved just because they had this encounter. So the title of this segment, again, is titled To Believe or Not to Believe. I certainly believe that this miracle took place. I believe in the miraculous power of Jesus and his ability to be able to change situations in just a moment's time. But what about you? Do you believe or do you not believe? Again, feel free to post on social media with your answer, or you can call into the show live. The number to dial, again, is 347-850-1154. All right, so now we're going to go into our segment titled Let's Be Real. And this is a point in the show where I make a weekly confession. So every single week I make a confession concerning something that I've experienced recently, and I believe it's probably the juiciest part of the show because you get to learn more about me, Sherry Weary, and, you know, get a glimpse of my life. But this is a point in the show where I do these confessions because I want to be transparent and admit my mistakes, my shortcomings, but also areas where I've grown in and I've made progress in. The purpose of this segment is to provide an example of what I believe we need more of from people of faith, and that is to simply be people being real. So let's do it. Let's be real. So my confession this week is that I have been blessed with a gift to encourage others. So, you know, with you, if you've been listening for the show any length of time, you've gotten a variety of things that I have actually been transparent about just regarding different aspects of my life. And I'm trying to make sure to have a good mix of things that are just like, whoa, yeah, this is something that, you know, I've done wrong and I had to go ahead and correct. But I also want to make sure that I've also talked about the great things as well because I am blessed. You know, God continues to show his mercy and his grace to me. And so my confession this week is actually related to experiences that I've had within like the past like 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. And so again, my confession is that I have been blessed with a gift to encourage others. And to be quite honest, even though that I recognize that God has given me this gift and I know what my purpose is in life and what I'm here to do, for the most part, I mean, I'm not saying I know every single thing, but I do know, you know, just a lot of things as far as what God has taught me to do presently and some things that, you know, I even am to, that I'm working on even for the future. And so even with knowing that, even with knowing what my purpose is, knowing what my calling is, knowing some of the things that I've done and even some of the things that I will accomplish in the future, I'm so shocked by how impactful my gift to encourage others is. And that may seem kind of odd because it's like, okay, well, if you know you have this gift, why are you shocked that it impacts people? And the reason why I'm shocked is that, one, I'm amazed that God still wants to use me, Sherry Weary. You know, like, I'm not perfect. You know, I definitely make mistakes. I do not have it all together. And so that's one aspect of just seeing God's mercy just play out in my life just each and every time that he gives me the opportunity to be able to encourage someone else. And what that could be rather intentional, whether, you know, it's like a conversation where I go and I initiate a conversation with someone, or, you know, if there's a need that I'm able to help, you know, to fulfill, then I'll go and do that. And then, you know, when it comes to, like, my business, within the past few weeks, I've had a couple of engagements, you know, where I've gone and did different things and spoke to certain groups of people. And just being able to see, you know, people's reaction while you're speaking to them, that you can tell that this is exactly what they needed. And then to have that confirmed when they come up to you after the event is over and they let you know just how great it was and the information really helped them and, you know, how it spoke to directly what they were going through, it's still really just amazing. I feel blessed that I have this opportunity to be able to give back to others what I've been given and what I continue to receive. You know, I have some really good friends that have been there, you know, for me through the great times, through the not-so-great times. I have family who love me and who has been with me every single step of the way, and they're always rooting me on for me to succeed. And I have so many others who are part of my support system. I have my mentor and, you know, I have people that I attend church with and people that I know from college who have become like family and even coworkers, you know, that I've met throughout the years as well. And we've become some really good friends. It's just I have this support system around me and I am very appreciative, you know, of that. And to be able to give that same type of support, even in just small ways to other people, is just really amazing. And I just realized that what I do is a gift. It's not about me. It's not about my own abilities. Yes, I do have abilities. Yes, I have a skill set. But those skill sets, my abilities, my gifts, what I'm able to do, everything, it comes from God. And I just feel just absolutely humbled to know that I'm able to share this gift with others. So I encourage each and every single one of you who are listening to the show tonight, it's the one, be confident in what God has enabled you to do. Be confident in the skill sets and the gifts and abilities that he has blessed you with to be able to bless others. You know, everyone is not going to have this great stage where they'll be on, you know, a reality TV show, or they'll have a talk show, you know, or maybe they'll be on the New York sellers, bestsellers list or New York Times bestseller list, but whatever it is that you're able to do, you can truly impact someone's life and make their lives so much better just by doing what God has blessed you with. Whether you're an artist or you're a chef, you're a writer, you're a doctor, you're a massage therapist, whatever it is that you do, you know, maybe you have this keen sense of just being able to help other people to structure their business so that they can have profitable business. Or maybe you're an excellent writer. Or, you know, maybe you are a fashion designer and you're able to create things that everyone wants to be able to be on trend. Just whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It's that someone in this world needs your gift. They need you to fulfill your purpose so that they can be blessed by it. You know, even when you look at the Bible, there are tons of stories of people who had, you know, different things that they were good at, different professions, and the Bible talks about how they were anointed to do that. When you look at even in the Old Testament, when the temple was being built, it talks about how the artists and the craft workers that they were anointed to be able to do what they did, anointed in helping the temple to be built and the designing that they did. And even when you look at the New Testament with Stephen, how he was anointed just to serve the tables of the widows, you know, and just several other people who did the things, quote unquote, that we don't think are that important, you know, are those things that we don't think that you would need the anointing to do. But everything requires the anointing of God. And it's important that we seek God's anointing, because his anointing added on to our gifts and our abilities and our skills that he's already given us anyway, it just makes us unstoppable. And it gives us the capacity to be able to be effective and to be efficient and to be amazing and to show the light of God. You don't need a major stage to do that. You know, whether it's just within your family or your community or, you know, on your job or within your business, you have the opportunity to bless others and to encourage others with your particular gift. So definitely be open to that. Don't be afraid. Don't try to hide out, you know, and stay in the corner and, you know, not share what it is that God has blessed you with, because, again, there's someone else that needs it. So that's my confession, is that I have this gift. I feel very blessed to have this gift to be able to encourage others. And I hope that you will also be encouraged to share your gift, because, again, there's someone else in the world that is waiting just for you. All right, so we're going to go ahead and take a brief commercial break, and we're going to hear our wellness tip from Sharia Farmer, who is the executive director and licensed therapist of the RS Counseling and Wellness Center. And then after we hear our wellness break, we will be back in just a moment.
Today's wellness moment is something that I just absolutely love, which is music. Anyone who knows me knows that I love to listen to music. I love to sit and actually listen to vinyl sometimes, and it's just a different level of listening to music. But when it comes down to it, the reality is that when you want peaceful times and you want peaceful moments, you have to be very mindful of the things that you're listening to. So for me, when I'm feeling down, I'm feeling out, I try to make sure that I listen to music that is calming and or music that is actually uplifting. So I use music that actually reflects the mood that I want to be in. So be very mindful and careful that you take care of your emotional health by making sure that the things that you're listening to and exposing yourself to can help you to get a positive as well as an internal view on how to be well. So for me, when I'm down and out, like I said, I listen to some inspirational or some very uplifting music. But other times when I just want to be calm, I actually listen to things that might be similar to the waves or ocean, or wait, the waves in the ocean, where it might actually calm me. So something that's jazz and cool and calm can actually internalize inside me and bring me to a good place. So remember, say yes to some good music when you want to feel better and take care of yourself. All right, everyone be well.
All right, welcome back to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. I'm your host, and we are going to go ahead into our main discussion. Remember that you can interact with me online with the various hashtags that are mentioned throughout the show. And if you hear anything that sparks a question or a comment that really resonates with you or encourages you, feel free to post on social media or to even call into the show live, which is at 347-850-1154. And if you're going to post on social media, be sure to tag me at Weary Consult. That's WHERRYCONSULT. And you can do that on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter. All right, so we're going to go into our main discussion tonight, where it's titled Don't Stop Doing. And this is actually based upon the scripture Galatians 6 and 9. And Galatians 6 and 9 in the King James Version says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So I'm going to read that one more time. It says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So let's talk about the different things that may cause us to, quote-unquote, faint or to get tired or to stop, whatever it is that we are doing as we work towards the various goals to accomplish things in our lives. And this can be financial goals, educational goals, relational goals, professional goals, just anything, you know, even health goals. You know, you're just trying to improve your health. But there are tons of things that can cause us to be tempted to faint, to stop, and just like, you know what, this is too much. I just don't want to go for it anymore. Some of those things can just be frustration from how hard it is just to continue doing what you're doing. You know, let's say, for instance, if, you know, you're an entrepreneur and you're working towards this particular goal and it just doesn't seem like things are just paying off. Like, you know, you're not getting the clients that you're trying to reach or as frequently as you would like to get them. Or let's say, you know, if you have a health goal, you know, you're trying to eat healthy and you're working out, but just going to the gym 3 or 4 times a week or even more is just wearing you out and you're sore and you're tired and, you know, you're now wearing muscles you didn't even know you had. And it's just a lot, you know. Or maybe let's say you're in school and you have a bad case of senioritis. Whether you're in undergraduate program or a graduate program, it's just the routine of doing papers and projects and taking exams. It's just, it's a lot on top of just trying to take care of the other responsibilities that you need to take care of. And at the end of the day, just the whole process, the process within itself can just become so much. And so you can be tempted to stop and say, you know what, I can't take this anymore. This is just too much. It's too, I just get to take this long. I didn't expect it to be this hard. Or maybe along your process of trying to achieve whatever particular goal that you have in place, you've experienced some failure, or maybe you've experienced a lot of failure, and you're frustrated because you don't understand why the success is not coming. You know, you do your due diligence, and you do all the research, and, you know, you put all this work in to try to make sure that your product or, you know, whatever it is, service that you offer is excellent and it's top of the line, and you keep encountering failure. Just things are not picking up like you thought that they would. And so whether it's frustration with how long things are taking or it's frustration because there has been failure or even lots of failure, or maybe you don't have the support that you thought you would. You supported everyone else in their endeavors, and it's just not turning out. Maybe your particular issue that you're trying to work towards is repairing relationships, and that can be relationships with your spouse or with your children or even with family members. And it seems like you're the only one who is putting the effort into trying to make this relationship work or trying to repair whatever bridge has been burned throughout the years because of different circumstances that have occurred. And so you're frustrated and you want to just stop and just give up, because if you're the only one that cares about repairing this relationship, why keep putting the work in? But here's the thing. If you stop, one, that means all of your hard work that you have put in so far is just been a waste of time, is down the drain. You know, if you've been putting in this effort, let's say if you're, you know, in school and, you know, you're a senior, you're in your undergraduate program, you've been at this thing for almost 4 years. So just think of all the long nights and all the studying and the exams and everything you've gone through. And if you give up in your senior year, it's like you shouldn't have even went to college anyway. You know, and with saying that, let's hear and, you know, put something out there and just say, it's different when situations occur in your life beyond your control where you need to take a break. I'm not talking about the time where we need to take a break. You know, there are things that can happen, can be very devastating. You know, let's say you can have a death of a family member. You can have an illness that prevents you from continuing with your education or something else, whatever goal that you're working on. It's different when life circumstances require you to take a pause. It's another thing when we can continue on, but we just decide we just don't want to keep going, where it's not that we need to take a pause. It's just that we refuse to continue to try. So if you refuse to continue to try when you really could keep trying, then that means all of your hard work is just, it's been a waste of time. The days, the weeks, the months, the years that you put in was all for nothing if you give up now. And then if you look at one of the other things and said if you stop right now, that means that you'll never actually reap the reward of success. All you're going to know is just more failure. If you give up now and you just stop pushing towards whatever goal it is that you have, you will never actually see yourself accomplish it because you stopped. So then you're just going to have another failure, and you're going to beat yourself up about, and you're going to be like, wow, like, you know, I never follow through with anything, or I'm never able to accomplish my goals. I'm never able to actually do what such and such is done. But you could have done it. It's just that you stopped. And so you don't want to stop because you deserve to see yourself succeed. You deserve to see the reward of your hard work and your diligence and the sweat and tears that have gone that you have put in for all of this time. And even when you look at, you know, just to use the example of the law of motion, I am not a scientist. That's not my my field that I specialize in. But, you know, when you look at the first law of motion, and this is just a basic explanation of it, it states that any object that is at rest will remain at rest, but an object that is in motion will remain in motion unless there's a force that comes to stop it from moving, right? So if you're moving already towards your goal, if you keep moving, you're going to keep moving. But if you stop, then you're going to remain stopped unless now you get another force that now has to initiate the process of moving again. And when you give up on your goal, it can be so hard to stop again. It can be harder to start than it is to actually keep moving forward. And so it's best just to keep with the momentum, because the more you do, the more you will continue to do. The harder to you push, the harder you will continue to push. The more you continue to love, even when people are giving you hatred, the more that you'll have the capacity to love. The more that you show grace and mercy to individuals who are not giving that same thing even back to you, the more you will have the capacity to continue to show mercy and grace. And so it's all about the continual motion of doing. You know, even in the Bible talks about how faith without works is dead. It's one thing to believe that something can happen, but it's another thing to put the work in to show that you believe that it will happen. And so that's what we have to continue to do, because like Galatians 6:9, that second part of the scripture says, it says, because in due season you will reap if you don't faint. Everything that we are going through, it occurs in seasons. And there are some seasons that seem to last so much longer than others. It seems like the great happy seasons are like 2 seconds short, but then the hard, frustrating, hurtful, painful seasons seem to last for eternity times too. And even though that's what it feels like, that's really not the case. And just like this season started that you are in that may be difficult, this season also has to come to an end. And that doesn't mean that life's going to be perfect at the end of it, but it does mean that you will finally get through this rough patch that you may be experiencing at this time, as long as you keep chugging forward, because you have to. You know, if you're committed to really living out your faith, if you're committed to trusting the Word of God, and you're committed to really believing that he is able and that he will do everything that he has said to do, he would do. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about how God's word will not return to him void, but it will accomplish everything that he meant for it to accomplish. So if God said it, it has to happen. And, of course, it would be so awesome if everything happened so immediately, and it happened just within just the wink of an eye, right? But that's not how everything happens. There are times where, yes, you get immediate answers to your prayers, but there's other times where it doesn't happen right away. I'm definitely a witness to that. I've definitely had some prayers that have been answered immediately, and I'm just like, whoa, God, you are amazing. That is so awesome. Thank you. But then there's also times where it's like, whoo, Jesus, where are you? It's been so long. What is going on? But even in those times where it just took a lot more longer than what I wanted it to happen, God still did it. And so even now, you know, I'm encouraging everyone that's listening to it, if you may be in a difficult season, is that you can't stop in a season. You can't afford to do it. Because if you stop now, you won't get to the next season where you will be a victor over this current season, where you will not see the strength that you have developed by going through what you're going through, where you won't see how you have matured and you have grown. And even though it stretched you, yes, beyond what you thought you could handle, but now as a result of being stretched in these particular areas of these difficult seasons that you are going through, and you now taking on a lot more burdens than what you thought you can handle, what is done is now prepared you in your next season to now receive the blessings and to receive more than what you would have received if you wouldn't have gone through these difficult times now. The stretching now that's painful, the growing pains that's happening as you're in this difficult time is increasing your capacity to be able to receive more from God and to really be able to grow even more and to be able to help others and to be a light of God and to show what his power and what his glory really looks like. And it's not that we should, that we serve God just for material things. I'm not talking about the material blessings, but even just having greater peace of mind, being able to have joy, being able to have true happiness, being able to have satisfaction that only comes from God. Like, these are the things that we receive as we increase more. And not that there's anything wrong with being blessed materialistically. That actually goes against what the Bible says, but that is a discussion for another day. So anyone that tells you that being blessed materialistically goes against the will of God is so wrong, and you should just not even continue that conversation with them until they actually have accurate information, because you don't want to argue with anyone anyway. But yeah, you know, just there's so many things that God has prepared for us. But we have to go through these times of testing and these times of growing up to show our own selves what we are able to handle when we truly depend on God. And so in order to survive, in order to not faint, and to not give up, you got to trust God. You got to depend on him. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to allow you to ultimately be destroyed and to ultimately fail. Yes, there may be times where things will fall apart. There may be times of failure. There may be times where you experience broken pieces in your life. But at the end of the day, if you keep pushing forward, this season of testing, of hard times, of difficulties, is going to pass. And you are going to be rewarded for enduring, and God is going to bless your efforts. He's going to bless your faith, and he's going to bless you for trusting in him and seeing the manifestation of what he already said that he was going to do anyway. So now let's go into our dose of spiritual wellness. This is the point where we recap the show and give you just some weekly encouragement to be able to go through the next week until we meet again. And so our dose of spiritual wellness on this week is don't stop going, because the momentum from continual action will produce the results that you want. Again, don't stop doing, because the momentum from continual action will produce the results that you want. So I've enjoyed spending this time with each one of you this evening, and I look forward to spending time with you next week. You can log on to blogtalkradio.com/RSWellness, and you will be connected to the show live every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you miss the show live, you can also go to that same website to be able to listen to replays, or you can even go to my website, sherryworry.com, to listen to replays of all the shows as well. Be sure to check out the RS Counseling and Wellness Center blog at radiantsunshine.org. As stated earlier in the show, you can find tons of helpful wellness tips in addition to the guest blogs that I post there on a monthly basis as well. While you're at radiantsunshine.org, you want to head over to rswellness.org, and you want to check out information about our new women's enrichment community that is being hosted by the RS Counseling and Wellness Center. It is up and running. Things are going amazing. We had an awesome conference call, our first monthly conference call 2 weeks ago now, a week and a half ago, and it was pretty amazing. And there's tons of helpful tips and resources there for every woman who is trying to pursue any type of goal. And so you receive the support from not only the women who are in the group, but also from experts in the field who are the life coaches in the community to be able to assist you as you move towards your goals as well. Remember that you can interact with me before, during, and after the show on social media. You can contact me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Weary Consult. You can also follow me on Periscope at Weary Consult as well. And lastly, my novel, Walking Through the Pain, is available in print and ebook format, and you can purchase that at sherryweary.com, which is my website, or on amazon.com or on barnesandnoble.com. Walking Through the Pain is also the official book of the 2016 Paradigm Shift Women's Conference, which will take place in Philadelphia, PA on September 17, 2016. You can actually look at the show website at blogtalkradio.com/RS Wellness and view the slideshow, and you will see a flyer that has more information about the conference and where you can register. You can go to PatriceMyrickMinistries.com for more information and to be able to register for the conference. It's going to be amazing, so you definitely want to make sure that you are in the place on September 17th here in Philadelphia. Also, this Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., the RS Counseling and Wellness Center and Weary Consultations, which is my business, we will be vendors at Camden's Be Healthy Expo. For more information, you can actually look at the show website as well to get the address. It's actually going to be at the Salvation Army there in Camden. So come out. It's a free event. It's open to the public. It's going to be fun for the kids. Tons of helpful wellness tips as well, and just an information, fun-filled, exciting free day. So definitely come out to visit our booth where you can see Sharia Farmer from the RS Counseling and Wellness Center and myself, Sherry Weary, from Weary Consultations. Until we meet again, and as always, I pray that you will be well, you will be whole, and that you will be set free.